All right, so this is a continuation, actually, of, like, 2 years ago. I started, it's not actually a sequel, like, as in you had to be there, not at all. I like to examine issues of Talmudic methodology. I call it adventures in Talmudic methodology, where I want to understand how the Gemara works, okay? And there's lots of books that have come out, specifically Sfarim, not a lot of English books, that talk about this kind of stuff. How does the Gemara make drasha? What things is it considering in those drasha? Not just the mechanics of, like, the Yud Gimel Midot Torah Nidrasha Bam. You know, like, does it use a Gezerah Shavi here? Does it use a Kavah Homer? How exactly does each one work? But what is the Gemara doing when it does that drasha? And why does the Gemara use a different drasha here? Or, you know, does it focus on these kinds of words?
Why does it pull out way too much from, like, one?
Or why, you know, what is the Gemara thinking? What are Chazal thinking when, like, there's an extra vav and they're darshaning that extra vav? Do they believe that the halacha is hidden in that vav?
Well, yeah.
Do they have an interesting question as part of this is there a preconceived halacha or pretext of halacha that needs to fall into place in a drasha? Or is it that the drasha creates the halacha? And if it creates the halacha, what's the mechanics of that? So that's not the topic particularly that we're exploring tonight. What we're really exploring is the phenomenon of fake drasha. What do I mean? Interestingly enough, you'll find throughout Chazal the possibility that the one halacha, you'll find, comes up in multiple places, and they'll use different drasha to derive that halacha. Meaning to say, sometimes not even in the same pasuk, sometimes in two completely different psukim through the Torah, you'll find the same halacha. Now, you know the principle, you've probably heard this before, that Chazal will not use the same pasuk for two different drasha. You've probably heard that before, right?
And every pasuk.
And you'll find throughout the Gemara often saying, wait, if he uses the halacha, if he uses this drasha for this point, how does he know this other halacha? He can't use it for this point, this source, so he needs another source for that halacha. Because you can't possibly use the same, let's say, extra word or extra weird thing in the pasuk to teach you two halacha. You've probably heard that before. That's a well-known thing in Chazal, and that's worth its own shear to explore, is why not? Why can't you just load on all of the halachot you want onto the same extra vav in the word?
Why can't I just use the other vavs also?
Maybe then the students would just get lazy, and they would just hook everything on one pasuk.
So maybe they're okay. So you need to give them a little more work.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a tough answer.
Why couldn't I just use, like, every single vav ever to make a drasha off of it?
Yeah. So I mean, maybe what you're saying is towards an answer, which is, like, then you just pile it all onto one pasuk. If you're assuming that the halacha works like that, where you take halacha and you put it onto a pasuk instead of the other way around, right? You have to assume that's the way the halacha works. Let's assume that maybe there's a logic here where we need to limit your ability to come up with anything. You could do lots of things with one extra vav, and we want to limit you to one, and the most obvious one, perhaps, or the most important one, maybe the one that's the most missing idea in the halacha, that we need a resolution for a certain problem in halacha. Right, that the Torah just doesn't talk about that case, and we need to fill in that case. Maybe there's issues like that. You know, this is all, kind of all assuming that there's a rational process to the drashot of Chazal, which, you know, instead of maybe what we would see as a more top-down approach, that God gave Moshe to the Zekanim, to Chazal, this, you know, this Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh Drashot, and they don't need to make any sense. They're just, like, on the words, and that's it, and that's all you can do. The Achronim in the time of the Torah Tamima and Rav Hirsch, late 1800s, early 1900s, the Mashiach Chachma, they devoted a lot of their time to explaining why the drashot, or how the drashot, are actually very rational and shot, perhaps, in the pasuk.
I understand that, like, if they're making drushes on actual words, but if they're making drushes on the fact that there's an extra word, how is that connected to what?
Yeah, so like, sometimes like you'll see a Torah to me and it's fascinating. And it'll be like, well, with an extra vav, let's say, how do you spell Yaakov? You could spell it with a vav or without a vav. It's usually
Yaakov.
Without a vav.
You see Yaakov.
But every so often it's with a vav. That's the that's to include X, right? Chazal will sometimes do that. It's to include some concept. Well, there's some rational reason for the extra vav, right? That extra vav must be important to tell you something extra.
But I'm saying, you're saying they try to explain it rationally, like the reason that this drusha makes sense is because in this pasuk it's this, and therefore this drusha falls from that.
Yeah, so extra letters might be a little more difficult, but they'll when it comes to, let's say, turns of phrases that are strange, they'll try to explain it that way. Okay, I could show you some examples afterwards if you're interested. But why don't we turn our attention to some examples? We have so much text here. It's almost like an outline of a shir. But I think it's really fascinating. A lot of text. I'm not going to really read through a lot of it, but I wanted you to see the breadth of it and how far it goes. Tosfos seems to have this idea that when you find in Chazal the same halacha learned out two different ways from Sukkim, in two different Masechtot, for example, it must mean that one is the true drasha and the other one is a fake drasha. Fake drasha. Fake news, fake drasha. What would be the reason for that we have to explore?
What do you mean? There could be an incorrect drasha that
Chazal would attribute. No, it's not that some random person gave it, but let's say Abraita says, here's the reason why X. We'll see an example like in a minute, so maybe it'll be helpful. But here's halacha derived from pasuk like this, and then another brisa and some other misag would say here's the halacha derived from X, you know, or Y pasuk, a different pasuk. Why is that?
Wait, is there a problem with there being multiple drushas for the same halacha?
Well, the question would be, what would be the reason? What would be the necessity? Why block off two different sukkim for the same halacha if now you've locked those out?
They're talking about different parts of that halacha.
Well, you'd have to figure out what different parts and how exactly that's true. Tosos didn't feel that way.
I'll probably be based on sukkim.
Okay, so let's see. My first example is in Sukkah Lamed Amud Aleph, where it talks about your ability to bring a stolen karba. And it really depends, actually, how you steal a karban and when you bring it. Because is it before Yeush or after Yeush? Yeush means to give up hope. The owner gave up hope on it. And so he says, whoever has it, has it. So you finally have ownership over it. So it's a complicated sugya. But the Gemara says, Bishlama lufnei Yeush. This is the bold part of Sukkah Lamed Amud Aleph. It says, Bishlama lufnei Yeush. I get it. If it's before Yeush, meaning that I understand why it would be forbidden for someone to bring a karban that he stole from someone else, but it's before that someone else has given up hope. Adam ki yakrav mikem amar rachmana. It says that when you bring a karban, it has to be mikem vilav didehu, and it's not his. It still belongs to the person who hasn't given up hope. He hasn't transferred his ownership over to anybody else. That's what the Gemara says. You can't. I understand the Fnei-ish, but what about Acher-ish? And it has a different teaching for that. A different concept for that. So, this is the pasuk.
Like,
focus on
it.
What?
Is that
very good. Well, before, you don't even have to get into Mitzvah Baba Avera because he didn't technically, I don't know what you would say, completely steal it yet. He didn't take it into his own possession. We have a pasuk already that tells us that. But after Yeush, what's the reason why he can't bring a karban? Because Mitzvah Baba Avera. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So it happens to be that if you look in different manuscripts, you'll actually find, fascinatingly, that there's very different possibilities of what the drasha is. But we said it's mikem. It says it has to be from you. But Adam ki yakrav mikem. This is the first pasuk, maybe second pasuk in all of Vayikra, right? It says ki yakrav mikem. When you bring it from yourself, So mikem means not from someone else's stuff, right? Okay. So you can look at these little manuscript things. I think is fascinating. Like one version of it, the Oxford 1759. I don't know what these numbers mean necessarily, but it says like this: Bishlam ufnei yeush ulakachtem lachem. It says. Yeah, I know, but how to read it, I don't know. But Bishlam ufnei yeush ulakachtem lachem mishelachem amar Rachmana. It's interesting. It says you should take for yourselves, which is actually from the Lulav Pasuk. It says it has to be yours. Yeah, in the parenthesis. But whatever, we don't have to pay attention for that. It's just like an interesting thing. Not everybody agrees that actually the drasha is this Pasuk. As we have other psukim that are possible here. And in fact, the JTS, the Rab 218, actually doesn't even have this Pasuk. It just has a spara, the Lavdi Dehu. But okay, fine. Anyway, it says, Kiyakri mikem amarachona Lavdi Dehu. That's what our Gemara says. Tosfos on this says, if you look at that first line in Tosfos, Tema, this is a big question. De mimaruba, mimai guzzle. We already know in Bava Kama that you're not allowed to bring a stolen carbon. Midichtiv, carbon no. Bacha mimaitle, midichtiv, mikem. We already know that you can have it because it says carbon no. And then it's Tosfos gets into other stuff and says, really, actually, the drasha of mimai of not being able to use a stolen carbon comes from Ibeto. Fine, you can get into that. Go back to the bold part. He says, Orcha de Gemara, the way of the Gemara is Bahaki, such a way. The mighty mikem mishum de ilok tiv beto hava mukmina mikem. Had it not been for the fact that there was already a drasha, we would have used mikem. Mikem was second best as a drasha. Beto is actually, right, he has to take from his house, and it can't be from someone else's house. Okay, that's a good drasha, that's the best drasha. But mikem was runner-up. Okay, that's true. Maybe mikem is less obvious why it would apply. We'll hold on to that thought. Ahach drasha. We would have used mikem for this drasha. Aval hashta dechtiv hanikrai. But now that you have both psukim in existence, ayater le mikem, we have mikem left over. Lo tziyat amumar, to exclude the apostate Jew. Meaning to say, he points out earlier in Tosfos that we already use mikem for something else. It says mikem from you, meaning an Orthodox Jew. I shouldn't say Orthodox. A religious Jew. Maybe that's even a worse word. A practicing Jew. I don't know. Whatever. And a mumar is excluded. We have a different gemara like that already uses mikem for a different halakha. So working this all together, Toso says, you're right. Mikem is not to tell you that you can't bring a stolen carbon. It's not to tell you that. It could have been to tell you that had it not already had a different drasha exist. So mikem really teaches you about a mumar, that a mumar can't bring not a stolen carbon, but can't bring a carbon. But anyway, so he says,
well, maybe it's just,
that's Tosa's answer.
Maybe it's like saying the same thing you already knew, but just like in like a different way. Like it's not actually saying it's a drasha, it's just saying we already know this.
Then why would it bring a pasuk? That's the false drasha. It's the fake drasha, he says. The runner-up drasha. Second best drasha. The bronze award drasha. No, but yeah. The silver award drasha, okay? And he gives other examples. Tosfos calls this Orcha de Gemara, the way of the Gemara. This is the way the Gemara acts. And he gives several examples. One in Sanhedrin, one in Megillah. Yeah, we have to discuss that. What would be the point of bringing the runner-up drasha? What's the need of the Gemara to do that? Okay, and let's just see more examples of where this comes up. Okay, besides for the one in Sanhedrin, in Megillah he brings, you can see another one in Sukkah, Chavtal and Mabet. It says, Rabbanan hai v'kasav my darshibe. What do the rabbis do with the pasuk? It says, when he divorces her, he says v'kasav. What do they do with it? They need to know that you cannot divorce a woman with money. Like you would be able to marry a woman with money or something worth money. You have to divorce her with something in writing. Okay. So Tosfos asks on that, hold on, we already know that from something else. We already know. Okay. So take a look at the bold part. Yishlomar, de orcha de shas hachi. Yeah, the answer is that the way of Shas is such, b'chol dukta, the havi drasha hapshuta lechora, the one that seems more simple. Follow? He said, Tosfos gives an answer that includes a little bit of svara now. He says, it is the way of Shas to sometimes include, he says actually always, to include the drasha that is more simple at an external look, at a superficial look. He doesn't apply it to Mikem. In the first Tosfos, it makes it sound like the reason why it's included is to tell you this could have been a good drasha, which is a weird thing. The second one has a little bit more teeth to it that you could, okay, that would be why the Gemara would do it. Is that it's a better looking drasha, even though it's not the real drasha. It would be, you have to take all three. Yeah. It's a better looking drasha, but then you'd have to ask yourself, well, then why isn't that the real drasha? And then you'd have to get into the mechanics of how the Gemara chooses which drasha is which and whether it chooses them at all. Okay. Going on to the next page, flip it over. We get into a little bit more of a complicated territory where we possibly have a third drasha to learn out that you cannot bring a stolen karban. Remember, we have Mikem, we have Mibeto, or maybe Karbano from Tosfos, and then we have Rashi on the Torah brings a Midrash. Rashi on the beginning of the Torah of Vayikra says, when it says Adam ki yakrev Mikem. You ready for this? Adam. Adam ki yakrev Mikem. Lama Namar. Why does it say Adam? What could it have said? What would have been more normal for it to have said? Ish. Okay, so Lama Namar. Why does it say Adam? What does Adam remind you of? Adam Arishan. Ma Adam Arishan lo hikriv min hagazel. Just like Adam Arishan didn't bring from stolen things. Why didn't Adam Arishan bring a carbon from stolen things? Because there's no one around to steal from. Shakol hayashulo. For everything was his. Afatem lo takrivu min hagazel. So too, you cannot bring from stolen things. Okay, so the disconnect is pretty obvious, right? Because Adam Arishon didn't bring from stolen things because it wasn't possible for him to bring from stolen things. Not because he wasn't allowed to bring from stolen things. But anyway, Rashi has a third approach, a third midrash. Happens to be, in this case, I can give a little answer that might be, I think, pretty compelling. It doesn't answer the question of like all three drasha, at the very least Mikem versus Adam. Why didn't Rashi go according to our Gemara? Why didn't Rashi quote Sukkah and say Mikem tells you that you can't bring a stolen carbon? Why did he go with Adam Arishon? I think Rashi had a certain project here. Rashi was trying to tell you an idea about karbonot at the beginning of Vayikra. Rashi's not making. He's quoting a midrash actually, but it's going against the Gemara. So the question then becomes, I think it's from the Tanhuma. Rashi's deciding to go with a midrash against the Gemara, which is weird. He has the choice.
He thinks the Gemara would have the authority.
Right, right. Of course, you know, does Rashi always quote Gemaras versus midrashim and go according to Gemara? Not always, but it is weird. Now, I think there might be an answer here, which is there might be two reasons that you can think of why a person wouldn't be able to bring a stolen carbon. Why can't you bring a stolen carbon? One reason might be that you think that you're doing God's will by bringing a carbon, but you're going against God's will by stealing from somebody. You think that your spiritual life is more important, or let's say your bein adam le'makom is more important than your bein adam le'chavero. If that's the reason why you think that you can't bring a stolen carbon, so that's, if that's the reason why you think that you're bringing this carbon, it's okay with God, that's one problem, which we might call a spiritual, you don't understand the value balance.
I think there might be another spiritual type of thing, which is that a carbon is supposed to be like a kapara for you. So if it's not something you actually own, it's not like you're getting a kapara.
So carbon means sacrifice. Now, I mean, I'm like, you know, translating it into English, but it does have that connotation. It has to be a little bit of a sacrifice from you. It has to come out from you in some way. And, you know, if it's a chatas, it has to be a kapara. And other things also. It has to have some way it comes out of you. It has to be a show. It has to come from your spirituality. It has to come from you. It has to be of your own choice. And it has to be something that you wanted to do to show your love for God. Okay, so I think those two drashot are indicating two different reasons why it might be forbidden for two different types of people. Number one is the person who has the misaligned values. That's mikem. Mikem means it has to be from you, meaning you have to be worried, like you said, mikem can mean the community. You have to be worried about your community just as much as you're worried about God. I don't know if worried about God is the right word, but that you have to make sure that you are sacrificing to God in a way that also agrees with your fellow man. Okay? That's mikem. The Adam HaRishon, Joshua, think about this. Adam HaRishon, why would he have given a sacrifice to God? Would it have been because he needs to sacrifice of him? Would it have been because he thinks that his sacrifice is more important than other people? There are no other people around. His motivation for giving a sacrifice to God is because he wants to give thanks to God. He wants to say or have kapara for the first sin of the entire humanity. He wants to show that he cares, right? And so he takes from a karban. So that is his motivation. The second one is what Rashi is trying to say is that the reason for your karbanos, the reason why you should give a karban, the reason maybe why you should go to davening and things like that is that it is part of your sacrifice. It's showing that you care. It's showing that you want to give. And that's what Rashi wants to emphasize from the karban. So maybe I have an answer there. But okay, fine. We're moving on in the various sources. We're trying to understand. What's the reason why there would be fake drasha? So if we first see Tosfos says, oh, it's because it's the runner-up drasha, which doesn't quite give us an answer why it would be there. Why do I need runner-up drasha in my Gemara? Number two is we saw that Tosfos earlier on in Sukkah says, well, maybe it's more pshat. Maybe it's a better drasha. But then we have the question, which is, then just make that the ikar drasha. That should be the real drasha. Number three is Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Take a look at the source number six here in the bold. Yesh Lomar, he asks all the same questions. This is also on Sukkah Lamed Amud Aleph. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says like this: Dibharbe mekomos, happens all the time. Ein hatalmud mevi ikar hadrash. The Gemara doesn't bring the ikar drasha; it brings the wrong drasha. He doesn't explain why. He doesn't say why. Doesn't bring the ikar drash. This is source number six, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay. Now, once we see all of those, now we can start to go through a whole bunch of Tosfos, as I'm going to go through them really quickly, that say it's all about pshat. There's fake drashos, but they're more pshat. They're better drashos. Mm-hmm. You don't know what pshat means in this context yet. But take a look at this Tosfos Sanhedrin Lamed Daled Amud Bet. It says, El Orcha de Ashas Levi Apashut. It's the way of Shas to bring the more Pashut Drash, even though it's not the real one. Okay. Tosfos Mori Katzot Ched Amud Aleph. Yesh Lomer de Orcha de Ashas Latuye Drashot Apshutim Yoter. Right? The Drashot that are more Pshat. Again, Tosfos Megillah Chaf Amud Bet. Yesh Lomer de Hacha Maisia Drashot Apshutim Yoter. Good. Tosfos Shabbos Kuf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. Vidrasha Pshuta Nakat. It chose the more Pasha Drasha. Okay. Tosfos Harash. Kiddush and Gimel Amabet. Yesh Lomar. De'orcha de Tamudahu. One can say that it's the way of Shas. Bechol Makom. Levi HaDrasha Pshuta Yoter. Again. And he says, Zikeina Rabos L'tamud. He gives all these different examples. Okay. Tosfos Erevin Tes Vav Amad Aleph. Nakat La Mishum Dehavya Drasha Pshuta Tfei. Chin Derech HaShas. Okay. So far, so good. Tosos Yivamo Samachet Amad Aleph. Velcha Hak Drasha Pshuta Nakat. Again, Pshat. Tosos Krisis Tezvav Amad Aleph. By the way, if you count how many examples I've given, it's exactly 9. And the Tosvos beforehand adds up to 10. Okay? Yesh Lomer Demaisi Hak Pasha Yoter. Okay. We have 10 proofs. 10 good proofs from Tosfos. It is a Tosfos answer to give that whenever they have a question of why did it do this drasha if we already know it from another drasha? What's Tosfos' answer going to be? It's pshat. It's a better pshat drasha, even though it's not maybe the ikar drasha.
Why though?
Right. So we have to figure that out. Still why? Still we're trying to figure it out. Okay.
I think the reason is for it to be simple. Talmud is like doesn't like go out of its way to be simple.
That's true, especially if the drasha is the way the drasha is, right? We have come across, I'm sure, many times drasha that are very difficult. The Gemara doesn't try to figure out a more simple drasha, right? And we could also ask, well, then why give us a secondary drasha? Why don't you just make that the real drasha? Okay. So I want to understand, first of all, what do they mean by pasha? So there's three possibilities. Three possibilities that you'll find in various tosfoses. Let's get more tosfoses. You ready? Bechoros, Yedalad Amabet, goes like this. Nakat hacha drasha de Abaye. Why does it bring the drasha of Abaye instead of a different drasha? Lefisha pashat lo yoter. Because it was more pshat. What does that mean? Hainu mishum de pashte de kra. Mashma shabalamayit. Listen to these words. Very fascinating. It says, because when you read the pasuk itself, it sounds like it's coming to limit something. Again, we're not getting into the nitty-gritty of the sugyot, otherwise we'd be here all night. Maybe if I was giving a morning shir, I would like do a really in-depth conversation about the various sources. But maybe Shavuos, you know, you can do a couple of hours on it. But the point is, how does Tosfos and Bechorot understand Pshat? He says, because if you look at the pasuk, it clearly wants to limit something from the halacha. And so the drasha is limiting something from this pasuk, so from this halacha. So it makes more sense. That's why he wants to do it. Tosfos and Zvachim, Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Nichalela Ashas Lasuya Drasha Hapshuta. You ready for this? The Haktsara. What does Haktsara mean?
Half? No, it's short.
Shorter. It's a shorter drasha. You've seen drasha before that, well, this pasuk says this, and this pasuk says this, it's juxtaposed to it, which implies that this pasuk later on can't be this because this pasuk is talking, right? You have three different, in the beginning of Tanit, you have like a three-way drasha.
Oh, which one is that?
All the way in the beginning, about Geshamim, something. And so that's a very long drasha. So, okay, we now have, number one, pshat means it's clear the pasuk wants to limit something, and so the drasha is obliging. Okay, number two is pshat means, maybe, it's shorter. It says pshuta ve'tzara, so maybe those go to end and end. It's a shorter drasha, meaning it's simple, not in reading the pasuk itself, but it's shorter in its explanation of how the drasha arrives at its conclusion. Here?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get another one, another possibility of what pshat means. Derech Hashas is Tosef Menachos Mendal and Mabet. Derech Hashas Levi al Pasuk Harahut Bishnei Hadrashot. It's the faster drasha. So again, that could mean it's like shorter.
Convenient. Are they saying it's like a convenient lie?
Yeah, I guess so. It's a convenient drasha, even though it's not true.
Sort of, it's
a shortcut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the whole truth, but it's what you need to arrive at the correct conclusion.
Yes, I guess. Again, the question would be why. But it's a pasuk harahut, which means like the faster pasuk. Maybe it's a shorter pasuk in and of itself. Maybe the drasha itself is the rahut thing. It's not clear. Okay. Tosfos Bava Kama Pei Zayin Amud Aleph says, a very fascinating says, Nira Bechol Dochte Denakat Shevach Neorim. Okay, it's not our topic, but he says all the times that this happens, Lissimana Ba'alma Nakte. It's just as a memory device. It's easier to remember. It's a better mnemonic than the real drasha. So, we're finally getting towards a possible answer. This last Tosfos clues us in to the possibility that Chazal, in their Torah Shabbat Peh, were concerned with your ability to remember things. Is it possible that the entire time, when Tosfos was talking about pshat, and we saw a lot of that, right? That he's saying, oh, this drasha is better pshat. Why does that matter? Because it's easier to remember. even though it's not the real drasha, it's not the true Torah Shabbat Peh, we want you to remember the conclusions better. So as Eli would say here, it's a more convenient lie. It's an inconvenient truth. No, it's a convenient lie, meaning to say, it helps you remember the Torah Shabbat Peh better. And you'll probably, alongside that, learn the real drasha and remember, oh, this is the fake drasha, this is the one to get me to the real drasha. Okay. That might explain Tosfos.
That's not so bad, I guess.
It's not too bad, not too bad. And again, Torah Shabbat Peh is all supposed to be memorized, right? It is actually a totally memorizable endeavor.
The problem is, what if you forget which one is the fake one?
That's true, that could happen. Rabbi Meir, I think it's in Pirkei Avot, says that a person who forgets his learning is Chayiv Misa. So everyone's like, or I think it's Ki'ilu Chayiv Misa, or is Mischayiv Benafsho, some language like that. And so it could be because these types of things, you need to remember some basics. And if you make mistakes in some of the basics, you're going to make some pretty bad mistakes. Okay. That was Tosfos. It turns out that many Ashkenazi and Sephardi Rishonim talk about this topic. So what about the Ritva? The Ritva apparently has a similar type of approach, except his approach seems to be that the Gemara is not so careful about drashot. Whoa, that's a pretty intense thing for the Ritva to say. The Hacha, this is the Ritva on Sukkah Lamed Amud Aleph, says Hacha lo daiki. They weren't so careful leminkat kra gufe. To quote the actual pasuk, Elodim dinakte lishna ba'alma. They just chose a regular, like, turn of phrase. This is very fascinating. The Ritva argues, actually, on our first Gemara in Sukkah, that drasha is not actually a drasha. It's not, he apparently doesn't have a girsa of kiyakrav mikem. He has the girsa of lachem bishalachem. And so, according to the Ritva, there's no actual drasha there. But why doesn't it give the real drasha? Because, why? It wasn't daiki. It wasn't so careful. Okay. Ritva and Moed Katan Chen Amud Aleph in the bold. Lo dak. Okay. I'm Vitikavasa B'Talmuda Rituva. There's many Gemaras like that. Okay. Ritva Megillah Chaf Amud Aleph. Just running through these, you right? Ela dahacha lo dak bekrai. It wasn't so careful. Lo dak. It's not a duck. Okay. Ritva Rosh Hashanah Yigim Amud Aleph. He says hacha orcha de tamuda, hachi orcha de tamuda bekamaduch. That happens many times in the Gemara. De lo daik beikerkra. They don't pay attention. They're not careful about the specific pasuk. They choose a different one. Ritva Erevin Tezvav Amud Aleph. We're not so careful about this. They chose the drasha of Rava, even though not everybody agrees on it, because the halacha follows him. So they don't care about actually being objective in the drasha, because they just want you to know the right thing. Okay.
Isn't Rava's drasha the objective one if we post him like?
Maybe that's his argument, I guess. But he says lo daikina, we don't care. It's an interesting if that's true, right? He says, well, actually, lo dakinam batuva. We don't care too much. So that's interesting. Okay, maybe you're right about that. Okay. Ritva ketuva lamechen amud aleph. He says a different thing. This is different than the other ritvas. I wonder if it's a girsa issue or something else. But he says, orcha detanahu, it's the way of detana, dekevan dekushtahu. Because it's the truth, viika cry, and there is a pasuk, lo kapid. He's not so careful. So actually, this kind of fits with the last one, if we're saying, like what you're saying. We know what the truth is, so why do we need to quote other psukim, other drashot, even if those are the real drashot, or this Tana disagrees with that Tana? He knows what the truth is. Kevin de Kushtu, that's how the Ritva puts it. And again, this emphasis on the Gemara is not so careful. Once it knows the truth, perhaps. Ritva and Rosh Hashanah Chavav Amud Aleph. Umay de lo nakde lekra de hatam orcha de tamuda de lo daik by Milta. Why didn't it choose the other pasuk? Because that's the way of the Talmud. It's not so careful about this matter. Ritva kiddushin gimel mabet. We're almost finished, guys. Ela mikevan sheinze makom ikaro shel davar. This is interesting. This is what Ritva says. It's not actually the sugya where it should appear. It's not its ikar sugya. The adavar mevurar, and it's a clear matter. You don't really need to explain it so much. Shekein adin, that's the halacha. Afilu rabbanan. Even according to the rabbis, they agree. Lo kapi talmuda. The rabbis weren't so careful giving you the true drasha because they knew that you knew the halacha. So again, you have this kind of answer from... You have Tosos' answer. It's all about memorization, maybe. Maybe we could say that about Tosos. Ritva says, it's all about the truth. We care about what the conclusion of the halacha is. Shh, guys. We care about the conclusion of the halacha. Okay. What about the Ramban? Still with me? We're going to get to the Rambam soon, okay? And that's going to get to some fascinating areas, okay? So perk up when you get to the Rambam. Das Ramban. Let's see what the Ramban says. Ramban, Kiddushin, Gimel, Amud Bet. El Degamama lo kapid. See? He says it's not careful. Doesn't care. Okay. Ramban, Kiddushin, Chaf, Aleph, Amud Aleph. Amud Bet. He says, Afo pisha raya mi makum acher, hi maisi la kidei la hakel alav. The reason why they chose this drasha is because it would be easier. Doesn't say. Doesn't say. And that sounds like Tosfos, right? The Pashat thing. Okay. Ramban Yevamot Samachet Amud Aleph. He says more explicitly like Tosfos. Elamishum de Pashte de Kram Mashmahachi. Because that's how the Pasuk sounds. Okay, so the Ramban kind of goes in different directions. I forgot to tell you, in the Kiddushin, Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, he also says, Lo Shezehu Ikar Tamudo Shel Davar. This is not the actual sugya, which sounds like the Ritva. The Ritva in one place says it's not the actual sugya, so it doesn't need to tell you the real drasha. Okay, fine. Let's get to the Rambam and we'll end. What do I mean by the Rambam? The Rambam didn't write a parish on the Gemara. Now he actually did. He has. We have a few things from the Rambam on the Gemara. I think one is on Rosh Hashanah.
Wait. Is that because the rest were lost?
He does describe more of his what's it called, commentaries, but we don't have them. We have some, but he didn't write on all of Shas. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Actually, it's a weird phenomenon that they point out in history that the Timanim were so careful with the Rambam's writings, but yet his commentary to the Gemara seems to have basically gotten lost over time. We have a couple of things, but not really. And so they say that it must be that it was so unpopular that it just wasn't getting copied over. Meaning, not to say that it was bad, but that nobody felt that they needed the Rambam's parish on the Gemara. They were more interested in his Mishnah Torah. They were more interested in his parish on Mishnah. They were more interested in his Mar Nevuchim. Like, those were bestsellers, right? But maybe his parish on the Gemara was like his notes from Shir in the Yeshiva. Maybe people weren't reading that. I mean, you know that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a parish on the Gemara. Do you know this? Called Divrei Moshe, I think. Something like that. Diber Moshe, something like that. And nobody really reads those, unfortunately. The Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I guess that's true. But I'm just saying, like, Rav Moshe is so famous for his Igros Moshe, right? But nobody really knows about that. You know, there's different sections that people care about. But anyway, the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah sometimes seems to make up a drasha. What do I mean? Sometimes he'll quote a pasuk to prove a halacha that you'll never find in the Gemara. You'll never find that drasha in the Gemara. And in fact, the Gemara might say that idea, but a different drasha. What's the deal?
He did say the Mishnah Torah was going to replace the Gemara.
Yeah, but why would he make up drasha? He doesn't need to. And 99% of the time, he follows the Gemara's drasha. What's up with the 1% of the time where he just he diverges from it? So some have given the answer, which is, well, it must be he has some source, some midrash that we don't have access to anymore. And other people give the answer, well, maybe the Rambam made a mistake. Maybe he misquoted, misremembered.
Misremembered,
some have said. For example, the Rav Kafa, who has unending respect for the Rambam. He translated the Rambam's Parash of Mishnah and his Mar Nevuchim from the original Arabic. He's a big Maimonidean. And he says, you know how difficult it would have been to look up a pasuk?
I'm saying...
In his talk about...
Gemara?
He had the Gemara, what do you mean?
Didn't
He had scrolls of Gemara.
Oh, you're saying just looking it up would be hard.
Think about it. You have to open a scroll, and there's no page number, you know. You have to, like, go column. Oh, yeah, it's right there, you know. Maybe the Rambam had copious notes, but how much are you actually going to look up this stuff? So Rav Kafach, in his talking about, actually in specific, about the Rambam misquoting Psukim, sometimes the Rambam will slightly get a pasuk slightly off. So he says, what do you expect? The Rambam's a genius. Just the amount of thousands of psukim he got right, he probably was not looking up. And the, you know, 100 psukim he gets wrong in his entire life's work, you're going to say, oh, he misremembered? No, okay.
He misquoted an entire pasuk?
Sometimes he like, half-quotes a pasuk. He, like, for example, I think, one of the examples, I think, is, Vayichabed et li paro, he made Paro's heart hard. I think either that doesn't exist, or maybe Vayichazek et li paro doesn't exist, and yet the Rambam quotes it like that in Hilchot Tshuva. One of those doesn't exist.
I think it's Vayichabed.
Vayichabed. And the Rambam quotes it. And what does it say? It does say Vayichabed et li bo, and God hardened his heart.
It doesn't say
Vayichabed. Et li paro. And it does have Vayichazek et li paro, or something like that. Like, it has close. So Rambam, misremember, Rav Kafach says that. I don't think we have to get into that answer. Take a look at what the Yad Malachi says about the Rambam in Os Dalid of Yad Malachi. Yad Malachi is a very fascinating work that goes through methodology of how various halachic works work. And so, talking about the Rambam, Klali Rambam, he has in Os Dalid like this. Darko Shel Rambam, this is on the second to last page, source number 14. Darko Shel Rambam, Likach HaDrasha HaYoter Pshuta. To take the drasha, it's more pshat. Af agav it dachia the Gemara. Even if it's rejected by the Gemara, and sometimes maybe pasuk shalom nizkar be Gemara klal, they will quote a pasuk that's never even quoted by the Gemara for a drasha. Me'achir shuhu mevura yoter, but he thinks it's more pshat. Fascinating.
Pretty much the same thing Gemara did.
That's what Tosfos argues the Gemara is doing. So if the Rambam agreed with Tosfos, right, and I guess the Ramban says this as well, if he agrees with them that's what the Gemara is doing, then you have license to do that also. And not you, but the Rambam has license to do that in his Mishnah Torah.
I have license to do it.
Let's see some example of where he does this, right? The Lacha Mishnah actually makes the same comment. Hochas Yisodei Etara Tesamanal. You can see that you have to keep the words of the Torah forever. This is going to be a law forever. And also says, it's not in the heaven, meaning there's not going to be any more testaments that come down from heaven. There's not going to be a new testament. Against whom, guys? Who would say that there is a New Testament?
Oh, the Christians.
Christians, right?
The Zoroastrians.
And lots of other groups, obviously, and also Muslims.
Zoroastrians.
Halamadita.
I was just making a joke about it.
Guys, Halamadita, you should learn. She'in Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata. There's no prophet is going to be able to come along and say the Torah is no longer applicable, or there's new laws, or anything like that. Lecha Mishnah says, whoa. Where is the Gemara? Where is the Rambam get that from? Halamad Tashay Navi Rashal Khadesh Varamal. Avakaf Tibi Gemara and the Mapikla Mikra Divela Hamitzvot. The Gemara itself learns out this fact that a Navi can't come along and make a new Joshua from Eila Hamitzvot.
There's literally a pasuk that says that you can't listen to him.
That's only if he's saying
to add or subtract from the Torah.
I don't know if it says to add or subtract, but specifically to not follow after God or something like that. You can look it up. But it's true. But in terms of being mechadesh from the Torah itself, saying, oh, when God said that, I have this, I am being mechadesh something else. So he says, even though that comes from a different pasuk, how could the Rambam use different pasukim than that? Ain't peta bekach. He didn't care so much, right? The Ein Rabbeinu Makbid B'kach, because our rabbi, meaning the Rambam, isn't that interesting? The Lacha Mishnah says the Rambam wasn't so makbid about this. Came into Ein Nafkuta B'din, because there's no difference in the halacha. right? There's no nafkamina. V'darko le'evi pasuk asher lo niskaber gemara me'achashu mevor yoter. He'll bring a pasuk that maybe is more pshat, which he's obviously quoting from the Yad Malachi without saying it. Another example of this is Hilchos Sanhedrin, Gimel, Chet. It says like this. Uda amru kol ha'amid li'Yisrael dayan she'ino hagun. It says in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, in Sanhedrin Gimel Chet, what does he say? Anyone who appoints a judge for Israel who is not fit to be a judge, kilu hakim matzeva. It's as if he made an altar like outside of the base of Mikdash. Shenemar v'lo takim l'chan matzeva. You should not establish an altar. Asher sana Hashem elkecha, that Hashem your God hates. Okay, so what's the problem? Chaim should know very well what the problem is here. Problem is that the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin says what it's compared to. It's not compared to a matzeva. It's compared to what? An Asherah tree, planting an Asherah tree.
Now I remember, but to be fair, that was A, in the first Rudapim, and B, prior to Ibur Hashanah.
That's true, it's true. We've gone very far past that already. But I was joking around.
Yeah, the point, if I look back at this, I'll remember, oh, I learned this, but I can't recall it off the top of my head.
So what is the Rambam doing? He's making up a new drasha. He's saying it's compared to a matzeva. Tzarech Iyun, Hecha Maisile. Where did he get this from? Says the Kesef Mishnah, right? Rav Yosef Cairo commenting on the Rambam. The Rav Mari Kolon, Herich Harpe, Beshosh Kufi Zain, Levakesh, Manoach, Lekafraglo. He tried really hard to figure this out, this other rabbi. Amai Darish La Rabbeinu, Malet, Milota, Kimlach, Matzeva, that you shouldn't make it a Matzeva. Where did he get that from? Other rabbi really tried very hard. Okay, skipping a little bit, V'roa ani, at the end of that second line. V'roa ani dvarav tovim v'nechokim. I found his words very good and true. Ilu haya darko shel Rabbeinu lidrosh ha'psukim midato. Sometimes the Rambam made up drasha.
Based
on his own mind.
Recollection.
Not recollection, midato, from his own opinion.
Oh,
and leaving aside the Gemara's own drasha.
And I guess as long as it's true.
Right. You have to really. It does the Ram. Think about this. This is a halacha lemaaseh. If you didn't think that this shir would be like actually relevant to your daily lives, when you're reading a drasha from the Rambam, is it his own opinion or does it come from the Gemara? How much authority does that have? Now. If it doesn't, according to some opinions, it doesn't matter because it's the same halacha either way. It doesn't matter where the drasha comes from. But maybe it does. Maybe you can create an implication from the way that you use the pasuk towards something, some inference that would have an effect on the halacha.
So he thought that the pasuk meant something. He thought.
Yeah, he thought there was must be something here. Yeah.
And like, therefore, you're trying to figure out how the Rambam
do that. Yeah. There could be huge nafkaminas if you're trying to read into the Rambam. It matters. It matters where he gets the sources from. What's interesting is that Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher was a big rabbi, an important rabbi who wrote many Sfarim, and he wrote the Torah Shlema, most famously, where he collected every Chazal known to the time. Every Chazal, this is in the 1950s and 60s, every Chazal, and put it according to, collected them all, and put them according to the pasuk where it's relevant. And his little commentary at the bottom.
Every
comment from Chazal that's relevant to a pasuk, he included it in a book called Torah Shlema. And it was massive. It's like 3 shelves, at least. I mean, they since have made it. They've made it smaller since. But yeah, Breishit itself takes like 3 volumes. It's unbelievable. Or Menachem Mendel Kasher. He came out with a Mechilta de Rebbe Yishmael. Mechilta de Rebbe Yishmael, he discovered. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Mechilta of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is a midrash that is quoted every so often, but we didn't have the full text. And he came out with the full text that he discovered in manuscript, and he said, guess what? Many times, if not all times, that the Rambam seems to have made up a drasha is found in the Mechilta of the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Unbelievable. He says, it means that the Rambam source was in Chazal. It just wasn't from the Gemara. It was from a Mechilta. Let me read this to you.
Did the Rambam Mechavim do it, or did he just...
Yeah, does it happen to work out that way? Libesof rotzeh ani la'ir. I want to say at the end of this introduction, says Rav Menachem Ben Lukacha, to this book. Acharei shebesifri hanochachi, in this book, nitbarer lanu harbei mekoros la'alachos u'drashos, she'hivi Rambam b'sifro. If you look at this book, we find out that there are many times where the Rambam brought a halacha, and his halacha is actually appears here already. She is so done b'milchota d'rishon bar yochai. That actually comes from this mechelta. Shenel ne'el ma'me'enai nosekelem harama. Me'enai anosekelem harama. That was hidden from the eyes of the nosekelem, the commentaries on the Rambam, didn't have this book, didn't know that this was the source. Efshar b'zeh ligol l'asir ta'ana b'to'ina. We can now reveal and remove the great claim that people have against the Rambam, shenose kelav, that the commentaries have against the Rambam. Hey, you didn't have a source for this. V'chein mechabrim shonim hotziu al Rambam halohema. There are many writers who wrote, and he gives a bunch of sources, Kasa Mishnah, a bunch of different ones. Lechem Mishnah, okay, fine. Re'ei pekasa Mishnah perak tem elchus yisari etar alach av, we saw that one. Merkavas Mishnah Sota, Perek Bet, Halacha Gimel. Okay, we quoted the Yad Malachi that he also quotes here. Vera, now we're on the next page. Okay. Kula Machlitim Pe'acha. They all agree to the same idea, which is what? She'aram Darkole Evi Joshua and Mitsukim Shalinisku B'Chazal. Sometimes the Ram will just bring Joshua that Chazal don't mention. Ocean is Kruv Nitchu, that they did mention, but they rejected, and he'll bring them anyway. Elami Kevin Shemata Rambam Pasuk Shepashut. They said, oh, you know, the Rambam found a more shot pasuk, umivur yoter, and it was more clear. Little mod mimani to derive a drasha. Ola asmichalav hevi oto midat atzmo. He brought it from his own. Rav Menachem Ben Lukacha finds that abhorrent. How dare you accuse the Rambam of something like that? Now, again, Rishonim were willing to say that Chazal were doing that. So it is not a problem, I think. Rav Menachem Ben Lukacha has a fundamental problem with this. And he says, "Me'olam tamati, I was always unable to counter this, to deal with this. Ala gedolim anal, I recognize that the great gedolim, eich echasu devar muzar kazeh. He calls it a devar muzar, a strange thing to attribute to the Rambam. Hadaikan hanifla, who's so careful, he says." He's so careful to delineate what exactly is from the Torah, what exactly is from the rabbis, what exactly is from Divrei Sofrim. Umipia Kabbalah, what's exactly from a tradition. Umipia Shmua, what's a Shemua, what's a different kind of tradition. Halacha L'moshim Yisinai. The Rambam is so careful with these things. How could you say he wasn't so careful when it came to his drasha? Shuba Atzmo Yasolo, drasha Mipsukim, you're going to say that he made up drashot, kilu nemru mipi chazal, as if chazal had said them? God forbid. Again, if the Gemara does that, what is so bad about the Rambam doing it, right? If the Rishonim didn't find a problem, like Tosfos and the Ramban and the Ritva didn't find any problem with accusing the Gemara of this, then I don't think that we can really have a problem with the Rambam doing this. But anyway, he says, Amnam yesh latzik mechabrim anal she'achrach heviam lidei dat zo. He says, okay, in order to defend these rabbis, maybe you have to say that they had to give an answer like this. They didn't have the mechelta that you now hold in your hands.
There's no way he was able to resolve every single problem.
I don't know. You'd have to go through every single one and see if the mechelta to Rashbi actually solves those problems. Mechelta of Rishon Bar Yochai?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know the history of the book. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's the shir. And it has huge daf kaminas. Depends on who you're holding by. What do you think about the Rambam?
The idea that you're allowed to lie in the name of
education. It's not lying, as long as it's still the truth.
But the Rambam actually says in the beginning, of Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam says that sometimes an author will be unclear.
Dumb things down,
or to even say something wrong for the needs of those who will not understand the truth.
When it comes to education, I mean, when you think about it, a lot of the time you spend in elementary school, you spend getting lied to. Like, you know how... I'm sure you have this. Like,
you're saying you that you become disillusioned?
They show you a cell, like a diagram of a cell, and it's not how a real cell looks.
Right.
Because they aren't trying to teach you this is how a real cell looks. They're trying to give you a basic background of
so that you can move forward biology. From there. Right. Correct.
And the idea is that you shed these misconceptions as you move up.
Correct.
And clearly, you have people... Clearly, we have opinions here that it's the same halacha. You have to be a little wrong to get people on board.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a problem of the Gemara reader needing to get on board or wasn't smart enough to deal with the Torah Shabbat Peh, but it's an interesting answer out here. Shkoach.